January was pretty cold, but the chill didn't keep Americans away from the car lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Auto industry numbers came out through the day yesterday, and they point to the same thing. The new vehicle market heated up 17% over last year. The industry seems to be climbing out of the depths of recession behind the wheel of 4x4s and light trucks. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Consumer confidence is up, and so is access to credit. And analysts are proclaiming the revival of the U.S. auto market. Efficient fuel sippers like the Chevy Volt get the headlines, but guzzlers feed the bottom line. Light truck sales grew 35% in January compared to last year. Good sign, says Hans Greimel at Automotive News.
These are the kind of cars that Americans typically like to buy when they're feeling good about themselves. This is the kind of car they like. It's not necessarily a must-have car. But, you know, when they're feeling good about gas prices and when they're feeling good about their pocketbook, then they're willing to come out for these trucks.
Trucks that pack high profit margins. General Motors and Chrysler led the pack with sales growth over 20%. Japanese brands grew more slowly. Greimel says the big three are regaining their mojo by trimming labor costs, cutting unprofitable brands, and buying more parts from low-cost countries. Oh, and he says their cars are getting better, too. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
In Australia, leaders are scrambling to keep people out of harm's way as massive Cyclone Yasi skirts the northern areas of Queensland state. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because areas nearby were under water just a couple of weeks ago after torrential rains there. The added economic damage could be catastrophic. Brian Redekin is chief economist at Macquarie Bank in Sydney. He's with us right now on the line. Good morning, Brian.
G'day, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are companies there and the government of Australia preparing for this storm?
Over the last 3 or 4 days, businesses have been very busily evacuating their stores, sandbagging them, putting boards over windows and masking tape to try to limit the damage that the storm has done. And indeed, some towns have been completely evacuated because alongside the terrific winds of the hurricane will be extreme flooding as well.
Yeah, the country's been hammered by historic flooding. In light of that, Brian, what kind of resources does Australia have available?
This region is used to cyclones, so there are the available resources in the right area. I suppose it's just the intensity of this storm that has got people alarmed. It probably will be the most intense storm in this region for around about 90 years, and it compares to Hurricane Katrina, of course, which devastated New Orleans.
And I remember Katrina, and I remember at that time insurance companies had a very difficult time because of the immense damage there paying out these claims. Do you think insurance companies are going to have trouble in Australia?
Certainly, they've been hit both by the floods, as you mentioned, over the last month or so, and this will just be another blow to those businesses. Also, a lot of the smaller businesses, the tourism-related businesses, have been doing it quite tough because the Australian dollar has been very expensive. And again, this is just going to provide another body blow for those businesses that had been struggling. And of course, this region is also a major agricultural producer for Australia. So about 90% of Australia's banana crop is based in this region. With this cyclone, there's a very strong likelihood that the entire banana crop will be wiped out.
Mm. All right. Brian Redekin, chief economist at Macquarie Bank in Sydney. Thank you.
Okay, then. Thank you. Bye.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P off just about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ on the other side up a tenth of a percent. The Dow is flat at 12,040. European shares are mixed as well. Payroll processing firm ADP said private companies hired 187,000 workers in January. Jobs placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas today said planned layoffs at companies last month was the lowest for any January since at least 1993. Those reports could bode well for Friday's big January Labor Department employment report. Toymaker Mattel said profits last quarter were slightly lower. AOL quarterly earnings beat expectations, but revenues fell over the last year. Another winter megastorm is affecting business and air travel over much of the country. Thousands of flights have been canceled already today, and snow and ice a big problem on this Groundhog Day when the chief furry weather prognosticator said spring was just around the corner.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Later today, Google will unveil a new Android operating system. It's called Honeycomb, and it's Google's first software designed specifically for tablet computers. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
In the rush to compete with the iPad, dozens of computer makers, from Dell to Samsung, built tablets running Android software that was designed for phones. Google's new Honeycomb operating system is the company's first real crack at software designed expressly for tablets.
Android is working with multiple hardware partners in multiple regions and with multiple mobile operators.
Neil Motzen is with Strategy Analytics. He says Google wants to take on Apple by getting Android running on as many tablets as possible, rather than building tablets itself. So to make Honeycomb work on lots of different machines, engineers made it simple. Google's Mike Claron says there are no buttons at all.
We were aiming for something that is futuristic but familiar. Everything is 3D, it's controlled by gestures, and information reses in when you need it and it de-reses when you don't.
Most Google tablets will have touch screens, but Google execs say someday soon, you might be able to hang an Android tablet on your wall and wave at it to get it to work. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, in addition to being Groundhog Day, today is also National Signing Day. Star high school football players have already begun signing with universities of their choice for a hefty scholarship. Now, for non-fans, the reason it's called Signing Day is because it's the first day players can commit to a school by actually signing a letter of intent. But in this age of the internet, fans want to get in on the action immediately. So webcams from college campuses in Tuscaloosa to Seattle will point to a fax machine to see the actual signatures come in one at a time. Good luck reading those signatures on your computer screen. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Despite steady economic growth, Bulgarians are just unhappy people.
Bulgaria is a reasonably developed country, so you would expect it to be very happy. But Bulgaria is sad relative to its income.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What do you suppose is making Bulgarians blue anyhow? That story and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.